Welcome to the 2011 Jacksonville Jaguars NFL Draft. Try to see things my way. Do I have to
keep on talking till I can go on? The average wage for a man between the ages of 21 and 24 in America is about $25,000. The average salary for our players of similar age is $700,000. We should never be in a position where we have to give up based on money. That's insulting.
Having the right kind of rookie compensation system is important for the way we pay our veteran players. You want to pay for performance on the NFL field. And that's what we're seeking to try to do, is adjust that system. Just last year, of the top 50 players, athletes in the United States, five of them were NFL rookies. And that's in all sports. That's a system that's out of whack.
Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Cole Pepper, and John Osher will guide you through the draft pick by pick with insight and analysis. We'll also hear from Jaguars general manager Gene Smith, head coach Jack Del Rio, and the first round pick of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening. And here's the commissioner of the National Football League with the first overall selection.
Around the clock.
And we thought we'd see the selections as Cam Newton was celebrating in the green room, but we'll get you right there. Good evening and welcome to our live coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft. To 17 straight years that we have covered the first round here on News Talk Radio WOKV. I'm joined this evening, as I am in almost every Jaguars broadcast, by my partner, Jeff Lagerman. Jeff, how are you?
Good.
You remember this night in 1989 or day?
It was actually a day. It was Saturday, and I remember it very well. I had a little room on in a house on Hanover Street. We used to call it Hangover Street. And had family, friends, coaches there, and it was a wonderful day.
It's become an even bigger production. They were introducing not only the Hall of Fame class that was nominated for this year, but the 24, 25 young men who were there to hear their name called.
New York Jets, first round choice. Jeff Lagerman, linebacker.
That's the important part. Here's Mel Kiper.
All right, Mel, give it to me again.
It's obvious to me right now that the Jets just don't understand what the draft's all about.
Here's the commissioner.
Pick in the 2011 NFL draft, the Carolina Panthers select Cam Newton, quarterback, Auburn.
All right, throughout the course of this evening, when a selection is made, we'll hear from Jaguars general manager Gene Smith with his thoughts on that particular player. And we begin with GM Gene and his thoughts on Cam Newton, the number one overall pick, as many expected.
Cam Newton, quarterback, Auburn.
Playmaker, a guy who was a catalyst to an outstanding offense at Auburn, had tremendous success, at the junior college, and certainly at Auburn University this past year.
Big, strong, physical, one in junior college, one last year at Auburn, and yet, Jeff Lagerman, you're not convinced that this is the right move for the Carolina Panthers. You've been saying it for weeks as his name kept climbing closer and closer to the overall number one pick. Your thoughts now on Carolina's decision?
I mean, to me, it's not a surprise, but there's just too many storm clouds to have over one player to be the first overall.
Did it trouble you at all to see his father in every shot in the warm-up hour on ESPN?
Well,
remember, his father was the one that created the first storm cloud.
Well, the second.
The first one he did himself with a computer down at the University of Florida. But his father was the one who was blamed for a lot of the things that came about at Auburn last year. And watching him, Cole, in that black suit standing there smiling, I kept thinking, if I'm the Carolina Panthers, man, I really got to make sure I know what I'm getting here. And seeing the old man in the picture doesn't make me feel real comfortable.
Yeah, but I think when you draft a player, you get the player much more than you do the family, as opposed to when you recruit the player, you get the family. You know, when you get a guy into college, family's a bigger part of it. When you get a guy in the pros, you get separated to a certain extent.
I was going
to
say, if the old man has his hand out, you know what I mean?
No, well, I'm not saying you separate it, but it's not as
big
a part
of it. This is it. We're not talking about what a wonderful football player he is. We're talking about his old man, and that goes right to what
you
were talking
about. Those
baggage
will be checked on the plane to Carolina. I mean, that's the problem. You know, he's going to have that cloud over this money issue at Auburn, his dad trying to sell him to different colleges, and that's not going to go away. And on top of that, he is not a pro-style quarterback that played in a pro-style offense, and he has 1 year of major college experience.
Very few guys, though, anymore playing a pro-style offense in college because we see so many of the spreads and so much is all over college football. There have been this style of quarterback in terms of his physical style who have had success in the past. You know, the question, though, is he going to be a Randall Cunningham, or is he going to be a Vince Young? You know, athletic, big, strong quarterback who can run and has a strong arm, but can he become a quarterback, or is he just going to be an athlete with the ball in his hands out there? Because, you know, so many athletes
who can be an athlete. Here's the thing. If you're going to pay somebody potentially $50 million guaranteed, I want to have one more year of prove it to me.
He has some good traits. I mean, you think about what he did, his leadership at showing up at a junior college and leading them to a national championship, showing up at Auburn, leading them to a national championship. I think that, you know, that's significant enough. But I think it's a huge risk.
It's not significant enough to take number one overall.
No, I agree. Obviously, those are significant situations. But $50 million, if that's what it's going to be for a guy who just has the tools, that's a huge risk.
Pretty
and
scary.
Ask the Oakland Raiders what it does when you take the wrong quarterback number one overall.
Pretty scary. And I hope for the Carolina Panthers' sake that he turns out okay.
You know, so much of the buildup to this was that he was the star player in the draft, the guy who got all of the attention. The really good players, Patrick Peterson and Marcell Dareus. I shouldn't say it like that. The guys who really performed year in and year out in the Southeastern Conference, in the big conferences around this country, they didn't get the kind of attention that he did. And you wonder if Carolina, which just had its third trip to the top in their, 17 seasons now? That's their third time picking number one overall?
No, they had number one overall in 95.
In 95, and they had it again in 2002 when they came in after a 1-15 season. So, you know, they desperately need a shot in the arm up there in Carolina, and I wonder how much of this was designed to be the marketing side of it.
Well, I hope it's not the marketing side of it, because that just doesn't work that way in the National Football
Generally
League.
It doesn't, but you can't say that his football skills are worth it, could you?
I don't know. I mean, I think what this does is it exemplifies more that it's a quarterback league and teams are desperate to find that guy. And the rumors are flying around today from all the different so-called experts that they're saying that there could be five quarterbacks drafted in the first round. I mean, that just goes to show you that, you know, that position is the ultimate position in all of pro sports. And if you can find that guy, you solve a lot of problems.
By the way, I'm sorry.
I'm going to say a couple of weeks ago, we sat down and a few folks around here started looking at the number of quarterbacks who were taken outside of the first round who got teams to the play, just got them to the Super Bowl in the last 15 years. And aside from Tom Brady, who was a sixth round pick, and undrafted Kurt Warner, you don't find many guys beyond Drew Brees, who was the 33rd pick. You know, it's very lopsided for first round. So Jeff, you're talking about teams are desperate. Sometimes I think teams try to make a guy a number one overall pick, or they make a guy a first round pick in their mind to try to make that projection to see, you know, that they're going to be the franchise guy of the future.
Well, they're doing it not because they're trying to make anything happen. It's that they know that they've got to find that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take Peyton Manning, and I've said this before, you take Peyton Manning out of the Indianapolis Colts roster, what kind of a football team are they?
Right.
I mean, it just goes to show you how good one player can improve a football team.
And how much different would this draft be right now? The first point on this, if Andrew Luck had come out of Stanford, that everybody
there
thought,
would be no question who would be number one.
It would have
overall
been a total lack of drama of any kind here in the weeks leading up to the number one pick.
All right, the Broncos pick is in. We're waiting to hear from the commissioner. And just to remind you, Buffalo is next, followed by Cincinnati, Arizona, Cleveland, San Francisco, Tennessee, Dallas, and Washington in the top 10. Now, some rumors have been flying that the Atlanta Falcons are willing to come all the way up from near the bottom of the first round into the top 10. Ostensibly, they're looking at one of those two wide receivers, A.J. Green or Julio Jones. Something to watch for. Peter King from Sports Illustrated has been talking in those terms. So too is Adam Schefter from ESPN. So we'll find out whether or not Thomas Dimitrioff is willing to make that big jump. Right now, it appears that the Denver Broncos have selected Vaughn Miller, the linebacker from Texas A&M. You know, because ESPN's cameras are focused on him and he's
sobbing.
He's sobbing, but here's the commissioner confirm it.
With the second pick in the 2011 NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select Von Miller, linebacker, Texas A&M.
Now, this is a guy I know you love.
Yeah, I think he's a fantastic player. I don't watch a whole lot of college football, but when you watch the highlight tape of him, he is. When he makes plays, it's not as if the other guy is lacking in ability or poor technique or for whatever reason. He is beating people with speed, quickness, and technique. He's a tremendous player.
Last night you used a comparison when we did the mock draft to a guy that Cole and I grew up watching in Kansas City, Derek Thomas. That's pretty high praise.
Yeah, Derek Thomas could change directions on a dime, and that's the type of change of direction that Von Miller has.
Let's hear from Jaguars general manager Gene Smith on Von Miller, linebacker from Texas A&M.
Von Miller, linebacker, Texas A&M.
One of the best pass rushers in the draft. I think there's teams that certainly look at him as an outside linebacker, more so in a 3-4, but he can put his hand down on sub situations and create pass rush at this level.
So to the Denver Broncos, Von Miller, the linebacker from Texas A&M. And it brings a question to mind. Now, what happens with Marcell Dareus? Because you didn't hear his name in Buffalo a whole lot, or Cincinnati, or Arizona, or Cleveland. Does he slide a little bit, perhaps?
Well, I mean, they didn't expect that he would be there. You know, Dareus is a player that, you know, earlier in ESPN's broadcast, I think John Gruden hit it right on the button. He said he's got positional versatility like no other. He can play a 3 technique, a 1 technique, a 5 technique, which, you know, means nose tackle, defensive tackle, or defensive end. He can play all the positions. And I know that Buffalo, Chan Gailey really wanted to get Von Miller. And now that Von Miller's not there and the Buffalo Bills have lost Marcus Stroud, he's now a New England Patriot, you know, they need a building block. You know, they've had a couple high picks that haven't panned out along the defensive front. And I think Dareus would be a good fit for Buffalo.
And I think Buffalo needs so much, Jeff, that they could this should be an easy pick for them, shouldn't it? Whoever's the highest guy on their board.
Absolutely.
Just pick him at any position.
Yeah, they're not a team that's going to go, well, we need this position or that position. I mean, it's not a very good football team, a roster that has just been decimated from poor drafts over the years. And hopefully they will make the smart decision and pick a big guy, because that's the building blocks of building a franchise, and you got to have them.
This is a really good decision for John Elway and his football team, because they desperately needed to replace Elvis Dumervil, who last year missed the entire season with a torn chest, pectoral muscle. And now they've got him, and if they get Dumervil back.
Well, they get those two guys together, Dumervil on one side and Von Miller on the other side, it certainly would be a tremendous pairing. Just a quick note here, Von Miller is also a named plaintiff in the NFLPA suit against the owners for the lockout. In a neat moment there, and that Commissioner Roger Goodell and Von Miller were hugging after the draft, and I thought that was kind of nice.
Well, considering some of the rancorous words that have come back. Been picked number two and probably just making about $45 million, probably.
This brings tears to your eyes every year, Logan, to see what these guys make.
Hey, oh, man.
Where they're picked, you know.
You
it's
know,
ridiculous.
It's going to be interesting, too, to see how the whole specter of the labor situation, how much it plays into part of the drama of this 3-day draft. Earlier, when the commissioner came out to make some opening remarks, fans started chanting, "We want football. We want football." And the commissioner said, "I hear you. I do, too." I'll be interested to see if that becomes sort of a platform for some of these fans who are there at the draft at Radio City Music Hall, if that's going to be a theme of the weekend.
All right, two picks in. Cam Newton, when is expected, to Carolina. Denver grabs Von Miller, the linebacker from Texas A&M, and the Buffalo Bills are on the clock. We're probably due for a break, aren't we? They're taking one on ESPN.
We're going to miss it if we do.
All right, we'll hang in here and get the third pick before we take our first break of the evening. Actually, Joe, I don't think so. I think we'll be all right. Let's go ahead and grab the break. Let's do it right now. We'll come back with more live coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Well, from now on, I'll just focus on hosting the program and not producing it, because while we were away, the Buffalo Bills selection went in, and it was Marcell Dareus, defensive tackle from Alabama. Here's Gene Smith on Marcell Dareus.
Marcell Dareus, defensive tackle, Alabama.
He's a big, run-stuffing type defensive tackle, very similar to a guy a few years ago that had played very well in this league by the name of Chris Jenkins. Probably one of the better defensive linemen in the draft.
That's a good move by Buffalo. You know, they need a quarterback in the worst way, and they've got Chan Gailey as a head coach, and Chan is a quarterback coach to his very core. They could have easily grabbed a quarterback here and started that run, but they went with Marcell Dareus, and we're watching the highlights of him right now. And this is just a wrecking crew.
I mean,
a one-man wrecking crew.
They're so far away from needing a quarterback. I mean, you got to have some kind of supporting cast, and I'm talking as a team. And Buffalo's nowhere near ready to draft a quarterback yet.
But, you know, that's one of the real intriguing storylines of this first round is when does a run on quarterbacks happen? You could have as many as five quarterbacks go in the first round. There could be as many as eight go in the first two rounds potentially. So when, you know, when we get down to the end of the first round and teams like New England and Indianapolis and, you know, New Orleans, these teams don't need quarterbacks. But the teams that are coming up now are all teams that need quarterbacks.
When the next five.
For the next five.
I was going to say.
You could say all five.
Yeah, Cincinnati, Arizona, maybe Cleveland, certainly San Francisco, Tennessee, right? So does somebody step out of line here? Blaine Gabbert's the guy you expect to go in the top five. You guys had him go into Arizona at five in your mock draft on Jaguars this week last night. But the Bengals, you know, Carson Palmer's not going to play there.
Yeah,
but you got to remember something, Cole. Mike Brown is an owner that makes no amends for anybody.
Yeah.
The Bengals, never has.
Bengals are on the clock. Their pick is in.
And what I mean by that is he has a quarterback under contract. Mm-hmm. Carson Palmer is going to play for the Bengals, or he's not going to play.
And Carson Palmer says he's fine to retire.
Well, and that may end up happening, but we'll know here in just a minute because the Bengals pick is in. But I mean, Mike Brown is a hard line owner.
Yep.
He does not.
There are other words for him too.
Change.
Cheap.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. That's certainly fitting.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see. And you guys had, by the way, just to remind everybody from last night's Jaguars This Week mock draft, you guys had A.J. Green from Georgia going here, who I think is just, I mean, a superstar. And I mean, he's eye-popping when you watch him play, so we'll see if the Bengals go in that direction.
Well, here's the commissioner, Roger Goodell, with the fourth overall selection in the 2011 draft.
Pick in the 2011 NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select A.J. Green, wide receiver, Georgia.
I mean, this seemed to be as solid a pick as you'd find. Obviously, they had two troublesome wide receivers, good wide receivers, in Chad Ochocinco and Terrell Owens. This is a young star receiver and a guy who many believe, Logs, was as good a player as you'd find in this draft.
Well, not the comparisons are to Randy Moss.
But a good guy.
But without the baggage, yeah. You know. I mean, that's the real positive about him. You know, what's kind of surprising here, and I think this is really a sign that the top picks are no longer the value that they used to be, is we've now completed, four picks in basically, what is that, 20 minutes, because they didn't say the Carolina Panthers were on the clock until about five after.
Right.
You know, so that means that there are no trade talks. Nobody wants to go up. Those picks high in the draft are no longer the value that they once were.
Because of the cost associated with
them.
Yeah. And by the way, just to give you another backup, and you know, folks who are SEC fans or Georgia fans saw an awful lot of A.J. Green. They just flashed up John Gruden's scouting report.
Yes.
And he has strengths and then concerns. List a bunch of strengths. Concerns?
None. Amazing.
there are always some concerns with a rookie coming in. But, boy, this guy looks awfully good.
Let's hear from General Manager Gene Smith on A.J. Green, the newest Cincinnati Bengal.
A.J. Green, wide receiver, Georgia.
A playmaker. He really has natural receiving skills. He's a guy that made immediate impact at the college level very early in his career.
We just watched the catch he made against Colorado last year, that one-handed.
Ridiculous.
You don't find guys that can do those things and turn and run away from the defenders like A.J. Green does, and he's now a Cincinnati Bengal, and maybe that will coax Carson Palmer into softening his stance and returning to the Bengals.
Maybe.
He's going to make it easier.
Maybe, but I don't know. Carson Palmer seems to be pretty stuck on where he's at. You know, John Gruden didn't have anything negative to say about A.J. Green, but I think the one thing you can always say about a young wide receiver is route running. Because that's certainly something that has to be learned at the pro level, because defensive backs are tuned in. You know, the amount of tape that they watch on defenses is significant, and you can't run the same type of routes in college. And watching some of the highlights that they showed on him, he is a master with his hands in getting separations away from a defender, but his routes probably need a little work, and you could say that about every receiver coming out.
All right, so the first four off the board are the same four that we had in our mock draft and truthfully the same that most people had. Cam Newton to Carolina, Von Miller to the Denver Broncos, Marcell Dareus to the Buffalo Bills, and A.J. Green to the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock about halfway through their allotted time. And this is going to be an interesting one. You know, is this where a quarterback goes? Do they turn around and grab a defensive back? Do they take a Patrick Peterson who... You will hear from Gene Smith on Patrick Peterson. He said he's just never seen a cornerback as big as this guy is.
Yeah, and I don't know what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do. There's talk that they're going to go get a veteran guy and maybe take a Patrick Peterson. But if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you know, you probably have a memory of a quarterback that you drafted pretty high fairly recently that didn't pan out.
Yeah, Matt Leinart.
You know, and so that should be players like him and – obviously, the bust in Oakland, which was as big as it can possibly be.
Jamarcus Russell.
Boy, you got to have that thought in your mind if you really don't have that guy. You know, and Gene has a term, you trust your board. You know, it's hard to trust your board when you need a quarterback.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I started looking at here, you know, we all follow the mock drafts and keep an eye on these things, but when you finally get down to the last day mock drafts and you get guys like Rick Gosselin, the Dallas Morning News, and Peter King and some of these guys, you start looking to see. They usually have some pretty good sources with a lot of different places around the league. Rick Gosselin had this as a Patrick Peterson pick, and
Arizona.
To Arizona.
Okay.
Yeah, and that seems like a much safer move there as well. Logs, you were talking about Cam Newton not having run in a pro-style offense. Same could be said of Blaine Gabbert, who ran in a spread passing offense. Now, I had to read a little bit more maybe than Newton did.
That's the difference.
But still, there are going to be some adjustments there, and the question is, do you need that guy right now, or do you need that guy in a year or 2 years or 3 years?
Well, there's always an adjustment period, but give me a guy who runs a spread over a guy that runs an option offense any day of the week.
Yeah.
Coming to the NFL.
Sure.
Because a spread guy, he does have to read. He is reading defenses. He is passing the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly an advantage because you're getting the repetitions at seeing it, although you're not going to see the same thing, but you're seeing stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting here. Either a quarterback or a corner, we think, here with Arizona.
And this could be a trade. There are, again, stories that the Atlanta Falcons want to make a move up and get one of the top receivers, Julio Jones, and Cleveland reportedly likes him as well. So, maybe this is a trade. We don't know that. We'll just find out.
Well, and if Mike Smith and company want to get up and make that pick after A.J. Green came off the board, even if they just liked – everybody pretty much says those are your top two receivers. So when one of them comes off the board, kind of tightens up the pressure a little bit to try to make a move and get up there. All of a sudden you don't have that that safety net of somebody else coming off the board.
Oh, yeah, but boy, will it cost them to go get a target for Matt Ryan because they're sitting at 27. And to move up into the top five, it would be huge. Here is the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
With the fifth pick in the 2011 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Patrick Peterson, defensive back, LSU.
Safe a pick as you could find. Again, as many people that said that A.J. Green was the best overall performer in this draft, as many people also said the same for Patrick Peterson, including Gene Smith.
Patrick Peterson, cornerback, Louisiana State.
The biggest corner that I've ever evaluated. He's a guy who has outstanding return skills. He's a guy that certainly is going to come in as a rookie and make an impact for someone in both return phase and obviously a corner, but a very physical corner.
All right, so there you have the first five picks. Cam Newton, Marcell Dareus, Von Miller, got to get that right, Marcell Dareus, A.J. Green, and Patrick Peterson. We'll take a break for news at the bottom of the hour and continue our live coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. While we were away, the Cleveland Browns stole draft choices from the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons wanted Julio Jones so bad they gave up this year's first, second, and fourth, and next year's first and fourth to move up from 27 to 6 for a wide receiver. He better be the real deal, baby. No,
he better be Jerry Rice Part 2 for what they gave up for.
Good football player, but they've shown a lot of tape of him on ESPN dropping the darn football.
And they're also, you know, listen, let's also consider that the Falcons are going to, you would expect, have a pick in the late 20s or 30s, you know, in the next coming year. So it's not like trading a top 10 pick, but man, that's five future players for one guy to help your offense.
Now, if you are San Francisco, you may have a quarterback that you liked, and Gabbert's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just sitting there. Tennessee, if they want Jake Locker or Gabbert, they've got quarterbacks sitting there. Interesting now, as Gabbert goes down the board, Julio Jones is off at number 6 to the Atlanta Falcons. Again, the Falcons swapped spots in the first round. The Browns go back to 27. The Browns also get the Falcons' second and fourth round picks this year, and next year's first and fourth round picks. Here's Jaguars general manager Gene Smith on former Alabama, now Atlanta Falcon wide receiver, Julio Jones.
Julio Jones, wide receiver, Alabama.
Julio is another playmaking wide receiver. He's got deceptive deep speed. He's a guy that's very competitive, will go inside for the ball and win the contested situations.
Of the first six players taken in this draft, five of them have come out of the SEC. So we know that the top, the cream of the crop of the athletes typically come from the South, and five of the six now from the SEC, the other one Von Miller out of the Big 12.
All right, so San Francisco is on the clock, followed by Tennessee, Dallas, and Washington to round out the top 10. We're averaging about 6 minutes a pick at this point, which means the first round could come in what, like 90 minutes?
It could.
I mean, they are just flying through this at this point.
It'll get more interesting the later you get.
Well, and if Gabbert comes off the board here and then Locker, you might see. You know, Rick Goslin, did he have five quarterbacks in the first 13 picks?
He had Newton at number one, then Gabbert at 7, Locker at 8, Ponder at 10, Dalton at 12. So in the first 12, what is that in the first 12?
Five
in the first 12. So far, by the way, Goslin, who I think does about as good a job anybody with these mock drafts, has hit everybody right in terms of the player and the slot. Now, obviously, Cleveland, Atlanta, he had the right guy going there at number 6.
Our buddy Pete Prisco, who is tweeting for CBS this evening, just had a great thought. He said, Julio better be Larry Fitzgerald for what they paid. And he's exactly right.
Oh, he's right on the money. I mean,
he had better be that.
Five picks, you know, you're talking about a swap in the first round, and then you're giving up, you know what, a second and a fourth.
Which means they won't pick till the third round.
And next year's number one and fourth round pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe Mike Smith thinks there's not going to be a draft next year.
Well, no, remember.
That's going to be part of this whole.
It's Thomas Dimitrioff is the guy who pulls the trigger.
Hey, I know one person right now that's going, man, I wish I had that pick. And that's GM Gene.
Oh, yeah, he loves to stockpile the picks.
He's sitting there going, why couldn't we had that pick?
Now, think if you're Michael Turner, the Falcons running back, how much easier your life might be now with two key wide receivers on the outside.
And you've got Tony Gonzalez, who's not what he used to be, but he's
retiring?
I know he's thought. I haven't heard yet.
But think about Matt Ryan not being able to get that offensive tackle that they really need in Atlanta next year in the first round.
Right. Yeah.
Or maybe some other players that contribute on offense.
I think Pete's selling it short, by the way, on that. I think he's got to be more than Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's got to be the next Jerry Rice. And I know Larry Fitzgerald's fantastic, but I think for what they gave up, if there is a draft next year and the first-round pick is still a first-round pick, which is an if.
That's one thing that I was kind of wondering. You know, could you, in fact, trade future picks, not knowing?
Here's the commissioner with San Francisco's pick.
2011 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aldon Smith. Defensive end, Missouri.
The first big move up the board. The defensive end from Missouri, a junior, a guy with tons of upside. 6'5", 265 pounds, explosive athlete, but doesn't necessarily have a lot of experience. Here is GM Gene Smith on Alden Smith, the pass rusher from Mizzou.
Alden Smith, defensive end, Missouri.
Another talented defensive lineman, one of many that could go in the first round. He's played left and right. He's also played some inside in their sub-situations. He's got tremendous range and wingspan, and is a very good hands player.
Well, they talked about wanting a pass rusher. We talked about a passer. They got a guy in Alden Smith who is raw but talented.
There's Rick Goslin's first miss.
First miss. He had Gabbert going there, which means now that Tennessee, who has as big a need at quarterback as any team in the National Football League, now can choose from Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker, Andy Dalton, Christian Ponder, Ryan Mallett, Joe Namath, Otto Graham, whoever they need. They have everybody this side of Cam Newton at quarterback to choose from. And in the next 6 minutes and 25 seconds, we're going to find out who the Jaguars are going to have to be game planning for at quarterback in the maybe immediate and certainly in the fairly near future.
For the long-term future, right. Obviously, we don't know exactly what they're thinking, because they could be thinking, you know, we got a shot here at Daquan Bowers. You know, I mean, although that's not likely, you just don't know. The quarterback situation is so deep in the National Football League this year. There are so many guys in the first two rounds. By the way, the Titans pick is in. Folks, we may get through the top 10 picks in the first hour.
If the pick's in this fast, it's got to be a quarterback. I mean, they got
What they did was went,
Although,
and
quite frankly,
had the guy run up to the podium. Here, here's the card.
Quite frankly, unless you just loved one quarterback over all the rest of them, and maybe that's Locker, maybe that's Gabbert, wouldn't you talk to maybe Washington about moving up from 10 or Minnesota from 12 to try to make that move? I don't know. Maybe the trade there's nothing that they could give up. But after you saw what Atlanta gave up to get Julio Jones, I would think you'd have to at least take some calls.
I mean, you take all the calls that you possibly can.
Yeah.
And I think that's a mistake by Tennessee not utilizing their full allotment of time.
I do too.
What if this is Nick Fairley? They need help on the defensive line. There's quarterbacks in the second round. What if they love Christian Ponder or Ryan Mallett?
Boy, that would be a real shock.
Yeah. We've seen him before. Here's the commissioner with Tennessee's pick at number 8 in the first round. Here's
the pick. With the 8th pick in the 2011 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Jake Locker, quarterback, Washington.
Wow.
Boy, the rumors were that they really liked Locker, and holy cow, is that right on the money.
Locker is a guy that, I mean, a year ago he was the number 1 overall pick if he'd come out as a junior. This year he slides to number 8. Despite the rumors of inaccuracy, they say that that's their guy in Tennessee. And here's GM Gene Smith.
Jake Locker, quarterback, Washington.
Very talented player. Has ability to make plays with his feet. Strong arm. I think a lot of people think he's a right-handed Mark Brunell.
And that's high praise from GM Gene Smith. We need a break. We'll take it now. Come back. Dallas is on the clock in the 2011 NFL Draft. On News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back to our coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft here from the broadcast studios at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. 8 picks down, and John Osher, senior writer, Jaguars.com, joins us. Well, let's talk first about Atlanta's move up and what they gave up, because that's really the only surprise that we've seen, unless you consider Blaine Gabbert sliding past Jake Locker to be a surprise. Not as much as Atlanta and giving up this year's 2nd, 4th, and next year's 1st and 4th, as well as swapping in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, there have obviously been bigger trades, you know, in recent years, but, you know, not many. I mean, this is clearly a get us to the Super Bowl now move. And if it doesn't work, you know,
those moves never work.
Yeah, I just keep thinking about the Saints and Ricky Williams, and I know that was a different scale, but you're giving up a lot.
How about here in 08? Derek Garvey and Quentin Groves in an effort to try to capitalize on a strong 2007.
Yeah, it goes against a lot of what I sort of believe in, but, you know, who cares about me if they win a Super Bowl? But
you know what,
just seems like a really, really, you know, you're giving up an awful lot for a player that, you know, is unproven.
Every GM in the league now, before they pick, you know what they're going to do? They're going to call Atlanta.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They don't have any more picks left.
Well, I mean, in the future. They're going to say, hey, Thomas, you know, hey, you interested?
And it's particularly a funny move to give it up for that position. I mean,
And especially on it was not a huge area of need for them. I mean, Roddy White's a terrific wide receiver. They've got a good offense. It's, you know, Julio Jones should be an upgrade on the other side, but it wasn't a glaring area of need for Atlanta.
It really goes against so much conventional wisdom and ordinary thinking. I was stunned by it. I wasn't surprised they moved up. When I saw they were moving up 21 picks, I was like, wow, that's a bold move.
Astronomical cost. The Cowboys are on the clock with less than a minute and a half before they make their selection, followed by Washington to round out the top 10. First round is really flying. I mean, you could, theoretically, if Washington picks quickly, you could get the first 10 picks in the first hour.
It went pretty quick last year, as I recall. I mean, there's something about this 10-minute format at night or something that is causing these picks to go off the board quick both years.
Are you blogging?
Too much time to get caffeine. Yeah, let's pick them.
Yeah, we are on Jaguars.com on the homepage. We're doing it's sort of a half blog, half question and answer type thing, and I'm trying to respond to fans as we go along.
There are some very good players sitting on the board right now. I mean, Blaine Gabbert is a guy who they're looking at. Prince Amukamara is still sitting out there.
Got an offensive line, don't they?
Well, the Cowboys always look for trade.
Cowboys. Talk about the Cowboys. Yeah, I mean, I got to think they've got to.
They're working the phones. That's what they're doing.
Well, that's it too. They probably have five or six guys. You know, the conventional wisdom was that the top eight were kind of all in the same range, but Jake Locker wasn't in most people's top eight. Nick Fairley was. Alden Smith was not in most people's top eight. Blaine Gabbert was. So now you've got at least two guys.
Cowboys have made the pick, or they've traded it. It didn't say trade yet, but pick is in. So we'll hear from the commissioner. And that'll put the Washington Redskins on the clock.
They're upset they couldn't reach Atlanta.
Yeah. Probably got a busy signal.
Gosh, give me a break. And then, so we'll see. You know, but guys who are sitting out there right now, besides Gabbert and Amukamara, Robert Quinn, the defensive end from North Carolina, Nick Fairley, the big defensive tackle from Auburn.
Tyron Smith.
The offensive tackle from Southern Cal. And again, we don't know. I mean, we take a good guess at where we think guys fit, but we just don't really know.
I think here is the test. Did Jerry Jones learn the lessons of not drafting big guys over the last couple years?
Well, here's the commissioner.
With the ninth pick in the 2011 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Tyron Smith, offensive tackle, USC.
That was long reported. The young offensive tackle who can start on the right and eventually move to the left goes to the Dallas Cowboys, and that puts the Washington Redskins on the clock. Here's Jaguars general manager Gene Smith on young Mr. Smith from Southern Cal.
Tyron Smith, offensive tackle, Southern California.
Arguably the most athletic tackle in the draft, a guy who's played both sides, but this past year was on the right side. I think most people are looking at him on the left side. Certainly his best football is in front of him.
So Smith is now a Dallas Cowboy. The Redskins are on the clock, and
Redskins got their guy.
Yeah.
Are we sure that's their guy? What if they want Amukamara?
I would be surprised if the Redskins do not draft a quarterback.
Yeah, who's going to play quarterback for the Redskins if they don't draft Blaine Gabbert right here?
Heath Shuler.
Billy Kilmer.
Sonny.
Bring Sonny back.
Well, and really the reason we didn't talk about quarterback for the Redskins yesterday on the mock draft was because we assumed Gabbert would be gone.
Yes.
I mean, it would be surprising if this wasn't Gabbert.
Yeah, and just as a note again, referencing Rick Gosselin's mock draft, he had Christian Ponder going here, so he was forcing a position into that pick.
Right.
Having Gabbert having been gone in his mock draft, but here's Gabbert, who a month or two ago was being talked about as potentially being the number one overall pick. You know, pre-combine especially, people were saying maybe he could be the number one overall pick, and now here he is sliding. If he doesn't go here, and if it's Ponder or somebody else or Fairley or what, you start to wonder, is Gabbert going to be this year's Jimmy Clausen and really have that fall or this year's Brady Quinn?
Well, let's assume that Gabbert goes here. Now start thinking about what does Houston do? Fairley sitting out there, but they're a 3-4 team all of a sudden. They could use a corner because their secondary was so bad.
And Robert Quinn, the defensive end slash linebacker, would be a very good fit for them as an outside linebacker slash pass rusher.
I mean, the picks that they now get to mull over. And then, of course, Minnesota. I mean, what if Amukamara were to go, Robert Quinn, Minnesota's going to lose Pat Williams on their defensive line and probably Ray Edwards. Now they can turn around and just decide what they want.
Can we pause for a minute here? And now that we are, you know, within seven picks of the Jaguars, we're more than halfway to the Jaguars pick. Just see what this might mean for the Jaguars in terms of the guys who could slide down. You know, everybody and their dog has the Jaguars taking Ryan Kerrigan, right? And that's been the most popular pick for the Jaguars to take. Joe's cat has them picking Ryan Kerrigan.
The fat cat?
Assuming that the Redskins take Gabbert here, you've got guys like Nick Fairley, you've got Cameron Jordan from Cal, you've got... you know, of course, Mike Pouncey's still there. And then you've got the other quarterbacks like Dalton and Ponder who may wind up popping in there. Nothing that's happened so far necessarily has been somebody who you expected wouldn't be gone by the time the Jaguars picked. Alden Smith may be a borderline. Some places could have been. But nothing that's happened so far has really impacted who is going to be available for the Jaguars. And I'm thinking back to what happened with the Eugene Monroe pick when all of a sudden he just fell into the Jaguars' lap. Maybe Prince Amukamara maybe is the only guy who you think maybe could potentially fall into the Jaguars' lap as a result of this. Those guys who are considered top 10 or 12.
Yeah, he may not get past Houston, may not get past Minnesota. You don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's going to be a player there now that the Jaguars go, wow, we didn't think he'd fall. I think you always have one player that you didn't think would be there.
Well, in the Julio Jones trade, the move up by Atlanta really changes the complexion. Those two in a row, 6 and 7, Julio Jones and Alden Smith, really probably, well, and I guess you could say Jake Locker.
You expected Julio Jones to go in the top eight.
A lot of people had him outside the top eight.
Yeah, I think Julio Jones in the top eight isn't, but I think Smith and Locker. Yeah, that's the thing that's really changed this up. All right, John, I'm going to put you on the spot. Johnny on the spot. Who are the Jaguars going to have to decide between when their pick comes around here in somewhere between 12 seconds and, you know, an hour?
Well, I kind of think you're right, to be honest. I mean, I'm not sure that any of the obvious guys are going to slide that far to the Jaguars. I mean, Gabbert, I would be surprised.
But here we go. The Redskins have traded the pick to the Jaguars.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Blaine Gabbert.
The Jaguars have gone up to number 10.
Blaine Gabbert.
A move up. We did not expect this from Jaguars general manager Gene Smith.
That's Blaine Gabbert.
So buckle up, folks. The Jaguars pick is coming right now at number 10.
This is surprising. You know, a trade up. It's obvious that Gene has one of his guys who's in that top tier who he's looking at. The question is it Blaine Gabbert?
I'm pretty sure it's...
Again, is it Gabbert? Is it Amukamara?
Gene Smith is not going to trade up
to go get
unless it's a premium position, and that's a quarterback.
Okay, but is cornerback also, you know, it's maybe a half a step behind?
It could be.
I think corner... Or does he think Nick Fairley, another big guy? Again, those are the areas that Gene likes, big guys. We'll see here, but if it's Blaine Gabbert... Brian and I, as a couple of Kansas guys, are going to be talking to a Missouri guy for the next 10 years.
And he's a good quarterback. We'll see. Boy, this is I didn't expect this. I don't know that anybody did.
But I want to see what they gave, what they have to give up.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be a whole lot less than Atlanta, obviously.
Gabbert's on the phone, folks.
Looks like the Jaguars are making their move for their franchise quarterback of the future. Obviously, they didn't think he'd be getting to them.
So, you know, the one thing I've always said about Gene, And the one thing, and he believes it's the same thing that I've always said, you can't pick a quarterback unless you believe that he is the guy. And Gene is very strong in his convictions. We know that. If he is going up to get Blaine Gabbert, which it appears that is the case, he believes very strongly that this is a franchise-type player.
Remember last year with the 10th pick, the Jaguars surprised everybody by picking Tyson Alualu. This year, the Jaguars surprised everybody by trading into the 10th pick, and it appears they'll be picking the next quarterback in Jacksonville whenever the next begins.
So Blaine Gabbert, as we speak, is on the phone, and the Jaguars pick is in, and we're now waiting to hear from the commissioner about Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, we want to hear it officially because it's not official until the commissioner says it,
sir. Yeah, you're right about that.
What did you guys get, by the way, being around town and people coming up and telling you what they think? What were the things you were getting the most out of fans so far?
They wanted their quarterback.
Right? Yeah.
They wanted their guy.
See, this is...
You know, it's kind of interesting, too, in that, you know, when you get a new general manager, new general managers want their quarterback.
Here is the commissioner with the Jaguars selection at number 10.
With the 10th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blaine Gabbert, quarterback, Missouri.
And there you have it. And we're about to give you Gene Smith's comments from the other evening about Blaine Gabbert. Now with Jack.
Blaine Gabbert, quarterback, Missouri.
Outstanding quarterback. Came out of a shotgun spread offense. Big, strong arm, and really has a good ability to make plays with his feet. So, excellent prospect.
Big guy. Really big, strong, physical guy who played, as you mentioned, Cole, in that spread offense, mm-hmm. and that's the biggest concern is how he makes that shift. But we're seeing quarterbacks do that now.
He's very athletic, too, by the way. Ran a 4.6 at the combine. Big, strong, has a good arm. Jeff, you and I are talking about making that transition from a spread offense, a spread passing offense in college to the NFL. He will have had to make quicker decisions because that's typically a shorter passing kind of offense. Going to be interesting to see what kind of a learning curve he has as he comes into the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a learning curve for a quarterback. There's no question about that. But from everything that's been said about Gabbert, many people believe that he was the highest-ranked quarterback on the board, period. And I'm not talking when the Jaguars selected. I'm talking prior to the draft. Mm-hmm. He was rated number one. As the number one quarterback by most experts.
And, Jeff, the other thing that Gene Smith likes, he likes a guy, he would take a higher floor than a potential higher ceiling. You know, not saying that there's not a high ceiling for Blaine Gabbert, but you're comparing him to Cam Newton, who went number one. You know, here you have a guy who is maybe has more of a sure bet to him to a certain level, you know, rather than having that upside.
We still have not gotten the information as far as what the Jaguars gave up to move up.
Right, go on.
Yeah.
They're saying a second-round pick.
Saying the Jaguars...
They're saying they gave up a second-round pick.
We'll find out. We're going to take a break. We'll try to get that information for you. Hopefully we'll have Gene Smith, Jack Del Rio, Blaine Gabbert with us here on the program. Jaguars have their quarterback of the future as the Houston Texans go on the clock here on our live coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft. All right, I am following David Garrard on Twitter because everyone wants to know what he's thinking, and he says, I know nobody saw that coming. Welcome to Jacksonville, Blaine. Stand-up move. And then, of course, Pete Prisco from CBS Sportsline comments, and he says, Jaguars learn a lesson. You can't win in this league without your franchise quarterback. Want to bet he starts on opening day. So let that debate begin. You got your franchise guy in Blaine Gabbert.
Good response by David. You know, good response.
Classy way,
and I didn't expect anything less out of David. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to ask David what he thinks about the move, and a lot of people would say, you know, do the Jaguars, you know, what do they say to David? Nothing. You know, compete. You know, that's the way the football league is you compete.
Yeah, and, you know, folks have talked about wanting Buzz. They talked about wanting Buzz last year in the draft, and there were some grumblings by some fans about whether there was Buzz. This gives you Buzz in Jacksonville to, you know, potentially have made the steal of the draft to get the guy who at one point was being talked about as the number one overall pick in the not-too-distant past, to get him at number 10 and only having given up maybe a second-round pick.
An NFL draft, the Houston Texans select J.J. Watt, defensive end, Wisconsin.
All right, a talented player whose stock really rose based on his postseason workouts. Big guy. They're moving to the 3-4, and he is a prototypical 3-4 end, which means the Jaguars are going to see J.J. Watt this year. Here is GM Gene on J.J. Watt from Wisconsin.
J.J. Watt, defensive end, Wisconsin.
Another excellent defensive end prospect, more of a 3-4 type guy. He really had a good year in terms of helping his team at Wisconsin play at a high level, a more of a run stuffer type with some pass rush ability.
And so J.J. Watt is a Houston Texan, and the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock. We are told that we will have Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith shortly here in studio. And interesting that Blaine Gabbert backstage with J.J. Watt, they just embraced, gave a big hug, and they'll be facing each other twice a year. One will be hunting the other one. Back to the quarterback situation. And, you know, I think it had been a foregone conclusion that whoever came in to Jacksonville as a quarterback this year, no matter what round, this team was looking to 2011 with David Garrard as the starting quarterback.
You know what this draft is all about now? I mean, this links the Titans and the Jaguars in this draft for the next 10, 15 years.
Right, Locker versus Gabbert.
Absolutely. You know, and now, and then you can put Cam Newton in that mix too, because, I mean, he's kind of linked through the Carolina Panthers to the Jaguars, two expansion franchises. But, I mean, now you have three franchises that selected quarterbacks in the first round, and now they're going to be followed and gauged and graded who was right and who was wrong for many years to come.
You remember an Osher had his mock draft with everybody?
Yeah.
Gabbert was first.
Yeah, a lot of people thought he was the best overall quarterback. That's why I said earlier that the Cam Newton pick has as much star appeal as it does quarterback performance, because Gabbert performed better in a lot of cases as a quarterback than Newton. Newton was more of a running
back. Yeah, and most everybody had Gabbert rated as the top quarterback in the draft.
Right.
You know, if you're just going to draft, okay, yeah, there's upside with Newton. There's the athleticism, the size, and the potential, the possibility. But the rest, you know, Locker, who went ahead of Gabbert, was not graded as highly by most of the draft experts. And I'm just looking on ESPN site, their Scouts Inc. Grade at, you know, number one rated quarterback in the draft. So, that number 10 pick has got a little interest once again for the second straight year.
And GM Gene has checked into the radio studio, and we'll ask him to have a seat, and we'll talk about the move up. We'll talk about the move to Gabbert. And we will continue our live coverage here as Gene has a seat. And congratulations, Gene.
Thanks, Brian.
On getting a quarterback that many people believed was the best overall quarterback in this draft.
Well, we certainly felt very good about him and his upside. Here's a player that is an underclassman that entered the draft. We felt like all the physical tools, the mental tools are there. I try to give our coaching staff a ball of clay and let them hone the skill of the player, and I feel like this guy's got tremendous upside. We did a lot of work on him through the process, and we felt very good about this guy being someone in consideration for us. We did not know, though, obviously, that it would become real on draft night. And we got in position to make a move. Terry McDonough did a good job in preparation of all this, because we talk to teams. We try to build good lines of communication so we can get on the clock. We can make moves certainly in a timely manner. And this one worked well, and we're very happy to have Blaine a part of this organization.
When this happened, Gene, the first thing I wanted to know is what you had to give up. You know, especially after seeing what Atlanta gave up to the Cleveland Browns for Julio Jones. The reports are that it's this year's second round pick. Is that what it is? And you got to be happy to only give up a second round pick to go up and get what you consider, I'm sure, to be a franchise quarterback.
Well, we feel that this guy, from a value standpoint, it was too good of a situation not to pass. Obviously, for him to get this close to where we could realistically make a move was a very positive thing, and we just took advantage of you know, the preparation that we put into it. And it does take a little bit of luck now. Let's not kid ourselves. You try to make some of your luck, you know, through your preparation, but on draft day, it takes some good fortune.
So the Tennessee Titans select Jake Locker. Dallas Cowboys like to trade down. They used all of their time on the clock. Were you in conversations with the Dallas Cowboys? That's what it was reported. Is that true?
That's accurate.
And what is it true that second round pick this in this year's draft is what you gave to the Redskins to move up?
It's second round value.
Very nice, Gene. Very nice.
I guess this means that Vic won't have to swim across the St. John's River. He doesn't have to fly back from Green Bay. We talked about this throughout the course of Jaguars Monday with you throughout the course of the year, and you kept saying, yes, you would like to draft a quarterback this year. At what point did you think that there was a possibility that a scenario like this would start to play out? In mock drafts, did you go through some of these things? Did you envision that this would come about?
Well, we go through a mock draft process every year. We do different scenarios based on a lot of work that we do. We don't just come up with these scenarios by pulling them out of a hat. We really study who may deal with who, who's targeting who. There's extensive work done. And then as you get closer to the draft, things become more crystal clear. But there's always a level of unknown when you got humans a part of the process. You know, there's no
givens.
They
get in the way all the time, don't they?
So you never know what's going to develop. And when we had the opportunity to make a move like this in the best interest of the organization, we did so.
Gene, does he go to training camp with a shot to compete for the starting job, or do you look at this as a move into time where he will have a chance to grow into the role?
Well, I trust the coaching staff in this one. Certainly we got a proven veteran starter in David Garrard. This is a guy, he is an underclassman. He is coming in on a shotgun spread offense. We feel like you know, he's a guy that can learn it quick, but there's just so much with playing that position that we actually have the luxury where we don't have to force a guy into it, and we like what we have in David, and now we've created more competition. We certainly have Luke McCown here, so we feel like we got a very healthy situation, not just now, but certainly for our future.
I mean, this was a pick with, as you mentioned, certainly the future in mind. There are a lot of holes that you weren't able to address in free agency because we haven't had free agency yet. Does it make it tougher to pull the trigger on a deal like this, to go out after a guy where you don't have a glaring, immediate need like you do in some other areas?
Not necessarily when you're looking at a quarterback. I guess I look at that position a little differently. You know, when you look at grade ranges, the quarterback certainly is a premium position. And he basically goes to the top if you have a need there. We got a guy that certainly we felt could be our starter, could be our eventual future here, and we feel very happy about the opportunity to add him to our roster.
We've seen a run now start on quarterbacks. Christian Ponder just went number 12 to the Minnesota Vikings. Do you think that run will continue, that a guy like a Dalton or a Mallett who had been thought to be bottom of the first, top of the second might climb up because teams are hungry for quarterbacks?
Well, I think there's a good possibility that could happen, really, because there's no player trades. There would have been some things that would have happened with a couple teams that are in need of a quarterback that obviously didn't happen. So I thought it changed the dynamics of the first, let's say, two rounds at the quarterback position, because there's a lot of teams looking, but their option at this point was the college draft only.
Many experts had Blaine Gabbert at the top of their board at the quarterback position. Was he the top of your board at the quarterback position?
He was certainly a guy that we garnered great value in. I don't get specific on our draft board. That's for the people in the draft room that put the work in. It's an excellent question, but again, he's a player that we wanted an opportunity to add to our team. Didn't know if it was a realistic consideration going into the draft, and then when it became more of an opportunity to acquire him and it became real, it became just a great thing for the organization tonight. So, again, the quarterback certainly is the face of our franchise. We certainly like what we have in David. We like what we have in Luke McCown, and Blaine will add to that. And, again, this isn't just for now. This is something for our future as an organization.
Was there a point, a particular game, or a workout that you saw with him or that one of the scouts saw that really solidified him as a guy you identify him as, yeah, that's the kind of guy who has the makeup and who has the physical skills to potentially be a franchise quarterback?
Well, it's not any one thing other than really the film. Seeing him play live, I did see him play live late in the year. We do a lot of work on these guys throughout the entire year, and certain players that you hear are considering coming out. You hope that you've done enough work on them. And so the quarterback's just a position in general. Every year, if you ask the scouts what's the position they see play most live, at least within our organization, it's the quarterback position. Because we like to see what they do between the snaps. And certainly for an underclassman, we've done a lot of work on this guy. And we felt good with the work that we did. And we feel, you know, very happy that he is a Jaguar tonight.
You know, every general manager that takes over for an organization in the National Football League, a lot of them grasp for that position. Are you finally, I guess you could say, thrilled to get the quarterback in your third draft? Because a lot of GMs, you know, in the first year, they want that guy right then and there. But you had patience. You know, obviously you've got some pretty strong feelings about this player.
Well, I do, but, you know, we do. All the people that did work on him. You know, I'm not going to say he's the next Ben Roethlisberger. He's won two Super Bowls, but that was the one thing through my scouting career when I saw Ben slide like he did. You know, I was a part of that process. To this day, that's probably the one thing that has surprised me the most is seeing him slide. And certainly he's done well in the NFL. We feel like this guy will do well in the NFL. And for him to be in position for us to have a chance to acquire again, I thought was a very good move for the future of this franchise.
And just a quick note here. Be interesting. Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars are now linked.
And they play on opening
Jake
day.
Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert.
Well, again, you get two young quarterbacks in the division. We feel like we are an ascending football team. We added another player to make our roster more competitive. We're doing things not just to win now, but certainly for the future. And Blaine Gabbert, I feel will look very good wearing a Jaguar helmet.
Congratulations.
That's Jaguars quarterback. General Manager Gene Smith. Congratulations on the pick, Gene. I know you got a lot of work to do. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Brian.
All right, we've got much more to come on our live coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft, and we'll do that right after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it. All right, welcome back. Live coverage, 2011 NFL Draft. The Jaguars picked at 10, Blaine Gabbert. They were followed by Houston at 11, taking J.J. Watt, the defensive end from Wisconsin. Then number 12, Minnesota grabbed quarterback Christian Ponder. At number 13, Detroit grabbed Nick Fairley. Now, you want to talk about a defensive line?
Oh.
How's this? Last year at number 2, they took Ndamukong Suh, who was a dominant Pro Bowl player in his first season.
Put him in Canton now.
And now you put Nick Fairley next to him. Yeah, that's pretty good. Joe, do we have GM Gene on Christian Ponder, who is a Minnesota Viking being selected at number 12?
Yes, we do.
Here you go.
Christian Ponder, quarterback, Florida State.
Talented player. Certainly did some very good things in the postseason, at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine. And he's a guy that certainly has good history coming out of Florida State.
All right, and the Detroit Lions follow that up with Nick Fairley. Fairley, again, a guy who many people thought was a top pick, could have been a top 5 pick, and Detroit sitting there at 13, just, man, did they just nail it. And it appears that St. Louis has grabbed Robert Quinn, though that's not official yet, although everybody in the green room is celebrating with Quinn, who could be a St. Louis Ram. Here is GM Gene on Nick Fairley, taken by the Detroit Lions.
Nick Fairley, defensive tackle, Auburn.
Guy who really came onto the scene this year at the defensive tackle position, very integral part of a very successful season at Auburn, and a guy who will come in and play early in his career.
And so we're waiting on St. Louis to see if indeed they have grabbed Robert Quinn. That then brings up Miami, followed by Washington, and the name that's sliding, there are two, but the name that's, actually there's three. Prince Amukamara, the cornerback from Nebraska, who many thought was just a shade below Patrick Peterson. Peterson from LSU went number 5 to Arizona. Costanzo, the big defender, offensive tackle from Boston College, is still out there. And, of course, the name, and he was starting to slide anyway, was Daquan Bowers, who is a top, top talent, but with an uncertain medical future with that microfracture.
A couple of other thoughts here on Blaine Gabbert. Gene Smith mentioned he was an underclassman as a junior, but he's already graduated. So, obviously, put a lot of effort into getting that done at Missouri. Last year, I remember having a number of conversations leading up to the draft with Gene about what he looks for in particular positions, and quarterback kept coming up. Of course, you had the Tebow and Bradford and McCoy, the very high-profile quarterbacks coming out in the draft. And he kept talking about things like wanting a guy who was, who had the character, who was a leader, who did the right things, who led his life the right way and so forth. And that's what Gabbert's reputation is.
Robert Quinn, so defensive end, North Carolina.
There's the pick. Let's hear from GM Gene and take our next break.
Robert Quinn, defensive end, North Carolina.
Well, he's a guy that certainly missed time this year due to the NCAA situation. But prior to that, he had good production, a guy who has a strong wrestling background, and a guy, I think, has upside to develop as a right end.
All right, when we come back, we expect to hear from head coach Jack Del Rio, and also we're working on getting Blaine Gabbert for you as well, as our coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft continues on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Rolling right along here, the Miami Dolphins are on the clock with a little more than 3 minutes left in their selection. We are waiting for head coach Jack Del Rio, and we expect to get new quarterback Blaine Gabbert at some point. Yeah, Joe Fortunato just points out what else is new, right? It could be a Tuesday night radio show. I'll make sure and point that one out to him, Joe, but that's a good one. I like it, though. I mean, it's humor. It's comedy. Yeah, it's comedy.
Then I'll run.
So what do you think, Loggy?
I like to pick. You got to have a guy that you believe in, and certainly Gene believes in Blaine Gabbert. And, over the last couple years of getting to know Gene's style, he's not going to do anything unless he has a belief, conviction on a guy. And, he's a tremendous, drafter, and I give him credit. I mean, the last two drafts, heck, if he didn't have an injury to, the defensive tackle, De'Anthony Smith, last year, we might have been saying, wow, once again.
Just as an example, in 2007, as Brady Quinn was sliding down the board, now a couple years later, we got stories that the Jaguars' war room, which was then led by Shaq Harris, wasn't prepared for Brady Quinn. And so they went back and back and back, but they hadn't done the work. And I think that goes to show what Gene Smith is all about. They never anticipated they were going to be able to draft Blaine Gabbert based on what they thought was going to happen, but they did the work anyway.
Yeah, did the work on him, and he's an underclassman, so obviously, when he declares, you've got to have homework done on an underclassman. And Gene is very hardworking, and he demands a lot of his staff. And so that they're going to get the work done, And I'm excited because, this here you're, year one and two.
Let's get the commissioner with the Dolphins selection.
The Miami Dolphins select Mike Pouncey, center, Florida.
Now, that's not a surprise. Let's hold off on Gene Smith, and you finish your thought there.
But, in year one, you build the offensive line. Year two, you build the defensive line. And then, give them time to develop. And they're all going to be pretty much going into years. I guess if Blaine Gabbert is a backup this year, the defensive line would be going into their third year of playing. The offensive line would be going into their fourth year of playing together, that young group. And, it would be perfect timing to put in the young quarterback. So he's got a plan.
All right. Let's
One thing you can always say about him.
Let's hear from GM Gene on the newest Miami Dolphin, Mike Pouncey from Florida.
Mike Pouncey, guard, Florida.
Excellent player. A lot like his brother, obviously. Everyone's aware of his brother up in Pittsburgh, who played center and had an opportunity to get elected to the Pro Bowl. He's a guy that could play guard or center, so he'll come in early and help whoever.
All right, we'll take a break and return. More live coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft. right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back. Live coverage, 2011 NFL Draft, and the head coach joins us now in Jaguars Central. Jaguars surprised a lot of folks by going up to 10, and they grabbed their franchise quarterback of the future, Blaine Gabbert from the University of Missouri. Welcome in, Coach. You got a big smile on your face. Franchise quarterback means a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And when you said Missouri, I was just thinking how we're usually sitting here talking about Kansas and the Jayhawks.
Yeah, you've never had one of those here. You know? You got a Tiger, though. Tell us about him.
Well, he's a big, talented quarterback. He's a tall guy. He's a smart kid. He's very athletic. We know he's going to need to grow into, the pro-style offense. He's taking a lot of snaps in the shotgun, a lot of snaps in the spread offense, things like that. But we think he has a skill set to develop into a real fine football player. And I think it's ideal for us because we don't feel the pressure to play him week one. We've got a guy that's very capable in David. And, there was a possibility we could have gone through this draft and not had anybody, and we'd have gone with David and Luke McCown and battled our butts off like that. But, now we've got a young man that we know we can groom for the future. And when that future begins is really up to him. It's really up to him. And we know what we're looking for from the quarterback position. We know what we're looking for this football team. And we know he's going to take a little time to develop. And so that's a good situation to be in.
Competitiveness, though, I know is something that you value in training camp.
Yeah.
And to have two quarterbacks with skills going after each other, certainly it helps everybody, right? Your receivers, your defensive backs.
It will. Really, the only problem, and the problem, that I probably didn't know enough about back in 03 with Mark and Byron. And first off, let's make sure we don't have the holdout situation because that didn't make it, good either. But I'm a little more sensitive to what a quarterback goes through, what a head coach goes through, the questions that are obvious questions that are going to be asked every day with every incomplete pass, with every ball that goes by either guy. You're going to have things, and in particular for David. And so I understand that a little bit better, and hopefully I can navigate that a little smoother than I did the first time as a rookie head coach in 03.
Yeah, 8 years certainly teaches a lot.
Yeah, a little of this gray hair has come in.
After watching the Atlanta Falcons move up with the Cleveland Browns and what they gave up.
Wow.
And
Smitty.
Then,
for wide receiver, no less.
Smitty wanted some Julio Jones. I know that much. I got to call my man.
You see, this gracious. You see the price paid there and for a wide receiver. And then you guys move up, not as far.
Right.
But for a premium position to only give up a second-round pick, compare
right.
that to what Atlanta's given up, and right. you go, what a bargain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we felt like there was value. We were not going to be fleeced. We were not going to, give up the farm to do it. We, really going into the draft, we didn't anticipate this scenario playing out. I mean, we talked about it. We talked about a lot of them. But this was a low percentage play, not from a being able to execute, more in terms of the fact that we didn't think this was that he would slide down and be in our path. It's kind of like when Roethlisberger came back, down to us the year after we took Byron. Who would have predicted that, but he did. And this is another situation where now we'll find out what kind of quarterback he is. Big Ben's been awfully good, but you have a guy that comes down the board that you have a lot of affection for, and then all of a sudden you have an opportunity to move up by just giving up one pick, and quite honestly, in a round that you think's a little lean, and it really makes a lot of sense.
Jack, from a transition standpoint, to go from the kind of offense that Gabbert played at in Missouri, spread shotgun kind of offense, to an NFL offense, what are going to be the areas that he's going to have to make some adjustments, and what are the areas that maybe that playing in that style of offense versus more of an option offense like Cam Newton played in, where will he have a little bit of an edge as a rookie?
Well, I think, certainly when we go into shotgun on in sub situations, when we want to on early downs or when we do on third downs by design, he's going to be most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's
going to
be the most comfortable. The element of taking snaps under center and getting the timing
of three-step, five-step, five-step with a hitch, those types of things, the play action, the sell on the play fake, and the ball handling, those things. Those are areas he's going to have to spend time to get comfortable at. The reading of the defense, a little different when you're turning your back to the defense as you're play faking and then turning your back around, your eyes back around, trying to find the safeties and things like that. That's going to take a little time. The ability to be athletic, to be fast, to be tall, to be smart, to have a good arm, to have a great body, all those things, he's been blessed with that. So there's a lot for us to work with, a lot for us to develop. And, again, I'm most pleased with the fact that we're not in a situation where we have to force him into action. We can let him earn it. And I think that's the best situation. And you know, to me, that's the best for our football team. Anytime a rookie has to earn it, and it's the best for him, you know, where he's not just thrust in before he's ready.
Been a tumultuous week. I'm sorry, Locke. Go ahead.
When the draft was going down and Tennessee selects Jake Locker, the room had to go, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, a little bit. But there was word coming out of there that they really...
Yeah, Chris Palmer really liked Jake Locker.
They had a lot of affection for Jake. And, you know, one thing, you know, right away, I know our defensive coaches are thinking about Chris Johnson, Jake Locker, Chris going one way, Jake going the other. They both can run like the wind. You know, it's they have a thought in mind in terms of how they want to attack people, and obviously we'll be getting ready for that in the opener.
Quick thought, and then we need to break, Coach, and that is, do you have a thought about when you're going to get your team in here based on all the tumult this week from the courts? And, you know, the Lions are talking about starting OTAs next week. Are you planning on opening up and getting things rolling?
Well, we're going to get them rolling in terms of opening up our off-season program and encouraging our guys to get back in town and start working and running and lifting weights and doing the things they need to do. So, you know, for me, I really look at the month of May to get in shape. And the month of June to work on OTAs and football. That's the basic structure that we're going to go with. That schedule has to be cleared with the league, but something along those lines is what I have in mind right now. I just don't want to put us through a bunch of OTAs before we have our team here and before we're in shape.
All right, let's grab. Hey, Blaine Gabbert joins us now. And Blaine, first of all, welcome to Jacksonville. And I know you've been asked this question a lot, but your thoughts on being selected in the top 10 in the National Football League draft?
Oh, it's awesome, and I'm just excited to have this opportunity, and it's a dream come true hearing your name called in New York City, and thankfully the Jacksonville Jaguars did that. I'm excited to be part of the organization.
And, Blaine, we've got your head coach sitting in here with us. He's got a microphone, too. You can say hello to your new head coach.
What's up, Coach?
Hey, Blaine. All right, man.
How are you?
Doing great. Just sitting here talking about being able to add you in the draft and excited about being able to get you in here and start the development.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's going to be a fun process, and it's going to start real soon.
You know, your name was bandied about in so many places, Carolina, Arizona, Buffalo, I mean, even Cleveland and Tennessee. It was never paired up with the Jaguars. Did you express any surprise when the Jaguars grabbed you, when they moved up and they called you and said, you're coming to Jacksonville?
Well, this draft, it was funny. Nobody knew where they were going to end up because of the whole lockout deal looming over it. The trades, they're all going to happen on draft day. And really, when I heard my name call is when I first realized that I was getting picked, and that's how everybody else felt as well.
Did there in New York, did you have a chance to talk with Jake Locker? You guys are going to be kind of linked at the hip for many years to come, competing in the same division.
Yeah, I saw him the other day, and Jake's a good guy. I wish him the best of luck, and I definitely look forward to playing those guys twice a year.
You know, this is a football team with a veteran quarterback in David Girardi. He's been tweeting this evening, welcoming you to town. Your thoughts on coming in and working in a competition in training camp?
David's a great quarterback, and I look forward to learning under him and competing with him in training camp, and it's going to be fun.
Well, we hope you feel welcome in Jacksonville. I'll tell you that three of the four people with a microphone in front of them right now have a sheepskin from the University of Kansas. So it'll be interesting to have a tiger down here.
We'll just it's going to be fun.
We'll make it fun. But to welcome to Jacksonville. Congratulations on living the dream and being selected in the top 10. And I know the coach has a big smile on his face. He's ready to get you down here.
And Blaine, be ready to go to work. Be ready to go to work. All right? We've got a lot of work to do. All right? Be ready to dig in. Okay, we'll see you soon. Okay.
That's the newest member of the Jaguars, quarterback Blaine Gabbert. We'll break and return more coverage of the 2011 NFL Draft after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. All right. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Cole Pepper, Joe Fortunato, John Dineen with you here for about, nine more minutes. Jaguars grab Blaine Gabbert. I think everyone in unison understands that that was a very shrewd move, or very smart move, or however, a lucky move, because Gene Smith did say there's got to be some luck. He's got to slide to you.
Well, and Gene will be the first to tell you that the luck part of it doesn't come from within. It comes from elsewhere.
Oh, no. The work is done to make it happen. We just saw Prince Amukamara go off the board to the New York Giants. And here's Gene Smith on the young cornerback from Nebraska.
Prince Amukamara, cornerback, Nebraska.
He may have as smooth a cover skills as there is in the draft. He's an outstanding athlete. A very fluid mover, a guy who can play the run as well.
All right, and that leaves Tampa Bay on the clock, and I think maybe they were hoping that Amukamara would have slid to him with Aqib Talib and the problems they've had with that young man.
Yeah, and now the Buccaneers are going to – cornerback would have been great, as you mentioned, but they could also use some help, I think, buttressing what they're doing along with Josh Freeman. They've got some good young wide receivers. Offensive line would fit here, I think, in terms of, anytime you have a young quarterback, you have to be able to protect him. And the guy who's kind of hanging out there would be Anthony Costanzo from Boston College.
How about Daquan Bowers? I mean, you know, here is a dominant defensive end, you know, on grass in Tampa Bay.
Gaines Adams' cousin, did you know that?
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because they selected Gaines Adams 4 overall. Now, they traded him to Chicago before he passed, but that's interesting. You know, and I'm looking a little bit further down the road than that. The Indianapolis Colts are the last team in the AFC South to make a selection. If Costanzo goes off the board here, boy, tell you what, they're getting shut out of some of the best offensive linemen. They need help
there. Gabe Kareem is the other one who's around from Wisconsin.
He doesn't strike me, though, as that.
He's more of a road grader than that.
Yeah,
maybe so. And, you know, that's going to be interesting because you look at what the other teams in the AFC South have done thus far. We knew that, you know, Houston was going to have to try to get something better on defense, their pass defense especially, their pass rush or pass coverage, and they get J.J. Watt, who's not really a pass rusher. He's more of a, you know, all-around style of defensive end. Certainly he's not going to be covering anybody. He's a defensive end. Jake Locker goes to Tennessee, and Jeff, as you pointed out, that connects Locker with Blaine Gabbert here in Jacksonville. Right now, I mean, it is way too premature to be putting grades on drafts. But let's put a grade on a couple of these AFC South drafts.
Yeah, with three of them selecting in the first round.
Don't you
that
think?
That might be a little early.
No. The Gabbert pick, in the span of what has happened right now.
The best.
That's the best pick.
Yeah.
That's an A pick. The Locker pick, that's got a big wide range on it too, certainly. But most folks didn't have Locker that high. Tennessee obviously did, and then we'll see what happens with the Colts here when they pick at number 22.
Coming up on that, between them and that pick are the Bucks, who are on the clock, and the Kansas City Chiefs.
And I just want to point out that I will accept awards for being the first person to put premature draft grades in the 2011 draft.
We're going to give you a little credit for being the first person in the history of Jaguars radio to use the word buttress.
Ah, there you go. Thank
on
you.
The air.
I appreciate that.
With you, generally, buttress is saved for buttressing.
A lot of things come to mind when I think of that term.
Now, with him, it's generally pork butt.
We'll stay on the side of the table.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. All right, we have one more break to take. Let's go ahead and take it now, and we will come back and we'll wrap up our coverage of the NFL Draft 2011 here on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it.
New York Jets, first round choice. Jeff Lagerman, linebacker, Virginia.
It's obvious to me right now that the Jets just don't understand what the draft's all about.
You had to pull that back out again one more time, didn't you?
You know, the thing that I like about it is that you have Pete Rozelle announcing
Lagerman.
Your entry into the National Football League.
Yeah, well, he was the commissioner for a year.
Absolutely. There's the tie.
Jeff Lagerman. Pete Rozelle was commissioner for like 2 years, I believe, and then Tagliabue took over.
While you were playing. 2 years while you were playing.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have made their selection, and it is a defensive end, but It is not DaQuan Bowers. It's Adrian Claiborne, the young man from the University of Iowa, and a guy who was born with a condition that leaves his right arm less than 100%.
Yeah, it's weaker. And many people predicted that he would fall a little bit because of that, and understandably so. I mean, the NFL is all about measurables, and Claiborne was elected not to do the strength testing at the combine. Didn't want to give him more ammunition for those people that thought that that would be a problem. But, you know, it was interesting watching the highlight tape that we got a chance to see on him. That right arm doesn't get used a whole lot. And it'll be interesting to see what type of player that he turns out to be with, you know, a right arm that is not as strong as the left.
All right. Well, as we get set to wrap things up here, the Jaguars take their quarterback of the future. None of us expected it, but they got
a guy. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm very excited. You know, year three, the general manager gets his quarterback. You know, and here's a guy that many people thought that he was top of the top. And Gene Smith wouldn't tell us where he was at, but, you know, we know Gene. You know, we got a feeling that if he was going to go up and get a guy, that was his guy.
I guarantee he wasn't ranked lower than 10 on the board.
No.
There are a lot of Jaguars fans who are fired up as well. This gives some buzz, and perhaps it makes Team Teal and Tony Boselli's job a whole lot easier over the next few months. That'll do it for our live coverage of the 2011 draft. Thanks so much to Joe Fortunato for producing as expertly as he always does, and thanks to you for listening. Have a great night, everybody.